Everybody. You all right? Yeah? Yeah, I'm pretty good. Yes, yeah. Not bad at all. We're celebrating over this weekend the fact that Goldthorpe Church has had a building for 50 years. And as Julie said, we've been looking at some of the names of God. Stephen, could you put the first slide up for us, please? You might be familiar with that one. That's not a name of God, somebody would say. It isn't, but the next one is. You won't actually find that described outright in the Bible anyway, but it is echoed all through the Bible, that God is builder. Over this weekend, we've been looking how this church has grown and developed. We've been looking, certainly with the photos, if you saw the photo display, and if you haven't, there's still some photos through there. So after the service, you can go through and see the different ways that things have changed over the years, how people have changed over the years, how things have developed and grown. From the original building over on Beaver Street, how that had an extension, and then how we moved to here. But in each of those phases, we've seen that God is a builder. He builds. He makes things. Different people have been involved. Beryl is one of the people who's been there throughout it all. Very few others. Mark was sort of almost there and then followed it through. But I'm convinced behind each and every move and each and every development that we've seen over those past 50 years, God has been at work. He's taken the faith that he's found in people, worked with that, and built accordingly. It's taken faith to possess the buildings. Sometimes it's been a real stretch. At times it's been a case of, God, if you don't do something with this, then it's going to fall through completely. And God's shown up and things have happened. There's been a transformation in the circumstances. And we have achieved great things because God has been working through us. If you'd like to turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Just going to look at a few verses from there. Hebrews chapter 11. I'm going to start reading at verse 8. Okay. It says, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were there with him of the same promise. Heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. God the builder. Abraham lived in tents. And one thing that emphasizes more than anything else is that that was a temporary dwelling. He never laid down roots, but he moved around. He transported his home from place to place. It tells us he was looking for something great, something better, something different to that which he could have built himself. He was looking for something that God had promised him that he would inherit eventually. It's undeniably true that buildings are a very useful tool. But they are that, a tool. They're useful, but they are not critical. Can be a lot harder without them. I've been in a situation where you go somewhere in the morning, you get everything set out, chairs, equipment, the lot, from scratch, and at the end of the meeting, you pack it all up again, because somebody else is going to have the building apart from you. It can be very difficult because at times like that you have to organise around other people if you're hiring somewhere. Sometimes you might want to do something and you find out you can't because somebody was thinking ahead of you and they booked it before you did. But what it does do is it emphasises how temporary a building is, that it's not permanent. I wonder how many of the people who originally moved into Beaver Street thought that was it. if any? How many thought they'd arrived? They hadn't. It was part of the journey. Another step on the way. And you know, the fact of the matter is that God never changes. He tells us that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today and forever. Everything else does. We change. We change continually. There's no standing still. We're either going forward or we're going backwards. But we will change. If we do nothing, we will deteriorate. You know, Stephen's really into the keep fit and exercise and everything else. But he knows that unless he keeps doing it, it will slide back down. How many have started on a program of exercise and keep fit and everything else, and then you felt the benefits of it and thought, this is wonderful. And then gradually, well, I'll not bother today. And I'll not bother today goes into, well, maybe next week or whatever. How hard is it to start again? Because the change is happening. The deterioration occurs. We change. God, the builder. It's very plain that God is building with individuals. He might build buildings, he might have architecture planned for us in glory and eternity, but he's essentially building with people. The people of the church. That is plain, is without doubt. Jesus said he will build his church, and he constructed no buildings whatsoever. He called his church the ecclesia, the gathering, assembly, a company of those who are united into one body. And that is what he was building. Again, buildings incredibly useful, but not fundamentally necessary. 1 Peter 2, 4-5 says this, "As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, have been built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." We are the living stones. We are the construction that God is working with. He is building his church. God has the tools. He's left us his word. He's guaranteed his presence. And he uses other people to work with us. He works with us to construct and reconstruct lives. We all come to him in a broken way. Perhaps broken in different ways, but we all come broken. None of us comes to God fit for service. None of us arrives ready, able, unwilling, we just turn up and say, okay God, I'm here. Each one of us comes to him a broken individual, fractured, in some way damaged. And God is into the reconstruction. We all have problems, deficiencies, hang-ups. But you know, God doesn't patch us up. God makes us new. I have some experience of working with older cars and having to reconstruct the cars. I had one interesting episode of welding, but we'll skip over that one for now. Ended up with no car. It went up in flames, but hey. There was another occasion when I was working on a car and I'd taken it for the MOT. And he says, yeah, you've got a problem down on the sill. He says, you've just got a small hole there. So I went, had a look, and sure enough, yep, there was a small hole there. I took it home, got the welding set out, got the car up on the ramps, sort of measured up the hole, and yep, I got a piece of metal and I knew what I was doing. But you know, as I applied the heat to that hole, the hole got bigger. In welding terms, it's what they call it runs away, because what might look like solid isn't. And as you apply the heat, the hole expands, and what is effectively rusty metal just disintegrates until it gets back to the solid stuff. That's what happens when you try to sort of patch things up. I ended up with a very large piece of metal to replace this very small hole. God works with each one of us to reconstruct us, to make us into the image of Christ. We might all come, as I say, broken, perhaps broken in different ways, suffering in different ways, deficient in different ways, different hang-ups, things that we need sorting out. And God works with us. It can be painful, but it's most definitely necessary. And God builds his church one person at a time. We have a personal responsibility to work with God. Matthew 7:24 says this: "Therefore everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock." God provides the necessary tools. He's given us his word. He speaks to us the truth. Do we embrace it, or do we think that we know better? If there's a difference between what we hear from the word of God and what we think is true, which do we choose? It's got to be the word of God. No matter what experience says, no matter what life has taught us, God is true. And we have that choice. Do we take him seriously? Do we actually believe what he says to us? You know, there's times when God can speak and it's scary, because it might not add up. Again, coming back to this building, when God sort of directed us to get this building, when we looked at it, there was no way we could afford it. Not only couldn't we afford it, we couldn't afford to run it. And that was the challenge. God spoke his word to us. Various people brought different words to us at the time. And it was a step of faith. Yes, it was a building, but God was working with the people to extend their faith, to stretch their faith, to actually grab hold of something that we couldn't see, to grab hold of something which, naturally speaking, we couldn't get. Have you ever seen the gymnasts when they go onto the high bars? Have you ever seen the situation where they have to be lifted up to them? Because they can't reach them. On their own, they're insufficient. They need somebody to add to that extra height. And that's what God does with us. He says, reach for those bars. They say, we can't reach them. He says, reach for them. And as we reach out, he fills in our inadequacies, our inabilities. Do we believe what we hear, or do we believe what God is saying to our hearts? That's a challenge, and it comes constantly. And God is continually trying to stretch us, because in stretching us, he's building us and developing us. Jude 1:20-21 says this: "But you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in God's love and wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life." Building yourselves up. We have a responsibility to work with God and praying in the Holy Spirit. Who's ever built any flat pack furniture? I would say from the result there, that means quite a few of you. Now, this is where we get to real confession time. Has anybody ever built flat pack furniture and got it wrong? Flat pack faith. Flat pack faith. You know, I work at the University of Sheffield, and I'm in the workshops there. And there was one time when we were there in the workshop, and a guy came in and he says, "I wonder if you can help me out. I got some flat pack furniture at the weekend and it's not quite worked out properly. Have you seen the little short dowels that you get for holding the pieces together? Yeah. Well, it seemed as if on every single piece where you got to push these dowels in, first of all he tried with his hands, then he got a hammer, hammered it, smashed it to pieces. And thought, well, I failed first time, I'll keep trying. So he got another dowel out and hit that and smashed that, and basically every hole that was there, he'd broken a dowel in it. And I don't think any of the pieces were together. So we had to drill all the dowels out and then make him some more dowels. Now, there are some people, obviously, who are more ham-fisted than others. He's a particular individual. No names, no pack drill, okay? Have you ever done that? Have you ever brought one of those dowels off? Yeah? How about if you had the person who actually designed that flat-pack furniture to stand at the side of you and say, no, don't do it like that. What you need to do is do it like this. Don't use a hammer, use a mallet, use something softer. You don't really need to force that one, that will go together by itself. Wouldn't it be nice to have the person stood next to you who's got the instructions and actually guided you through the instructions as well? Yeah? You don't learn that way, Karen. That is what God gives us. He gives us flat pack faith. We've got his word. That's how it's got to be. But he says that he will be with us. Jesus said, I'm going, but I'll leave you my comforter, the counselor, the paraclete, the Holy Spirit, who will be with you, who will be in you, to guide you into all righteousness. So we have the instructions for the flat pack faith, and we have the designer who talks to us as well. Well, there you go. Exactly. He works with us to build our faith. We have a responsibility. You know, even if you've got the designer stood next to you, you can say, I'm not going to use a mallet. I've got my 2-pound hammer, and I will use this. Smash. And how many times have we done that? We've had the prompting of the Spirit saying, you don't want to do it like that, and yet we've gone ahead. We can choose to listen, or we can choose to say, I know best. Praying in the Holy Spirit, being sensitive to the guidance of the Holy Spirit, responding to the prompting that isn't loud, that isn't aggressive, that isn't abrasive, but is there. We know when the Holy Spirit speaks to us, it's different, isn't it? You can have your own ideas, but when God speaks, that is different. As we pray in the Holy Spirit, he will guide us. Whether that's sort of new, using your natural words or the tongue that the Holy Spirit gives, we pray, and there's that communion. We're working with the designer. I said at the start that God uses different ways to build us up, and one of them is other people. We have a responsibility for each other. We're in a family. We are here to help one another and to work with one another, to encourage one another and to watch each other's back. Romans 15:1-7 says this, we who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please our neighbour for their good, to build them up. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who insulted you have fallen on me. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind towards each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another, then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. Bear with one another. How many times have you deliberately gone out of your way to push somebody's buttons? You know what I mean by that, don't you? You know exactly what winds them up, and you do it.
No.
We can do it in jest. Yeah, okay. But we definitely should not try to work each other up into some sort of frenzy, to run each other down. First of all, we bear with the failings of the weak. There are things that will upset you about other people, but God has placed each one of us into a family, and we work with that family. What do they say? Friends you can choose, family you can't. God picks the family, and He sets us in families. It talks about pleasing our neighbours for their good, to build them up. We watch out for one another. We watch each other's back. As I've said many times before, Cain stood before God and said, "Am I my brother's keeper?" And the silent answer comes back, "Yes, you are." And we are our brother's keeper. It tells us in Galatians to bear each other's load. We watch out for each other. We help each other. We are part of the family of God. We accept one another. How can we reject somebody who God has accepted? We can't. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, "Therefore encourage one another and build each other up." We're to be part of the reconstruction team that works with each other. We're doing life together. We learn from each other. And that only happens when we're honest with each other. When we say, "Look, I'm going through this difficult time. I've got a problem with..." And it might be that nobody's ever been there before. And it's a chance for us all to learn. It could be that maybe several people have been there exactly where you are and say, "This works." And that's one reason why we have a progression of ages in the church. We look to each other, to those who've gone before, to those who are more experienced, longer in the tooth, if you like, to pass on their experience to us. We bear with our failings, our differences. We accept, we encourage. That, at times, needs endurance. We have a duty of care. How can we help? What can we do? We have a responsibility for each other, to help each other, to aid each other, not to run down, but to build up. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 12 says this, "So it is with you, since you are eager for gifts of the Spirit, try to excel in those that build up the church." We need the gifts of the Spirit. The Spirit working among us in power, in gifts of revelation, in gifts of power, to work and to do the work of God. It tells us early in Corinthians that the gifts of the Spirit are there for the common good, not for each individual to say, "Hey, look at me, I'm doing really well here," but to encourage and lift up each other. Ephesians 4:16 says this, "From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up as each part does its work." Nobody is superfluous. Nobody can be pushed to one side and ignored, because at that point we are impoverishing ourselves. Each and every person is necessary, because each and every person has been brought in by God, and He knows best. For each particular family, there is a certain number of people who make up that family, and they are all needed. God is building his church. Jesus, speaking to Peter, said that he would build it. It's God's desire for it to grow, for it to be fruitful, as Dave was saying this morning. We need to be fruitful, doing the work that God has called us to do. There's always more to possess. There's always more to obtain as we develop and grow in God. Paul, writing again to the Corinthians in chapter 3, said, we are co-workers with God. We're working with him. You are God's field. You are God's building. And God is building this church. God has done much, and we celebrate what he has done. But God is still at work in us. The church is growing and developing continually, as it ought to be. And God will continue to provide as we keep an ear open to what he has to say, so long as we keep him central. Matthew 21:42 says, Jesus said this to them, have you never read the scriptures? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Jesus is the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it's marvellous in our eyes. We need him as the cornerstone. We need to be building around him. Anything else, as Paul says, that's wood, that's hay, that's stubble. Branches, again, as Dave reminded us this morning, are only fruitful while they remain in the vine. And a building needs its foundation, its starting point, where it sets off from. The point at which somebody has said, this is how it's going to be, this is where it's going to go. And if Jesus is the cornerstone, that someone is God. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. He is building this church. He is working not just in this church, but churches in the area around us. His church universal is being built by God. My desire is to see this church grow and thrive, to follow where God leads. It can be scary, but it's the best life possible. We've had 50 years. I've absolutely no idea how much longer there is to go. But while ever he calls us, we press on, because he is continually calling us forward. God is at the centre. God, the builder.
Amen. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone, Christ.